This is Dropout Nation. I'm Rashawn Biddle. Today, on the Dropout Nation podcast, the value of challenge, giving all of our children the high-quality, college preparatory, rigorous education that they need to succeed in school and ultimately in life. Challenge is power. Whether you're working out in the gym and you're lifting an extra 20 pounds, or you're out there on the track and you're running an extra mile, or if you're at work and you're taking on a new project that involves a bunch of areas that you don't know a lot about, challenge makes you stronger. Challenge grows your mind. Challenge makes you better. It hones your skills, the skills that you already have, the talents that are already a part of you, and also helps you develop new talents, new skills, new abilities. And best of all, challenge opens new doors. I think about my own career, where the challenging work that my editors and my managers gave me have expanded my abilities and have given me new insights on the world and new insights on what I can do and how much more I can do. And I bet this is true in your life too. I know it's also true in the lives of my friends. I think about a friend of mine named Carl Vandeveer in Indianapolis. He, back in the 1980s, he was a high school student and actually went to college, and he was a fine English student. But in college, he decided to take up math courses. And after initially struggling, he began to learn more about math, and he began to use math to take him into new areas. Bunches of years later, with a master's and a doctorate in hand, Carl became a specialist in helping coal companies use technology to mix together various coals in order to create cost-efficient mixes so electric companies can get the best bang for the buck. For Carl, that challenge of taking on something that he never did before really stretched his mind. And guess what? If it's true for adults, it is also true for our children. When we provide them challenging, high-quality college preparatory curricula, they will learn, they will grow. And increasingly, we're getting data that shows this. This past week, the U.S. Department of Education released the National Assessment of Educational Progress's transcript study, a study of high school graduates and the courses they take and the results that they're gaining on the NAEP, our federal benchmark of student achievement. What we've learned is that graduates who completed an advanced placement or international baccalaureate math or science course, or took up higher level courses such as Algebra 2, had average NAEP scale scores that were in the proficient level. Now, to give some context to that, very few young men and women actually score in the proficient level. That puts them in the top 25% of students in the nation. On the other side of it, kids who take a mid-level or standard course, a course that may include Algebra 1, but won't include Algebra 2, the more challenging course in mathematics in high school, they, on average, score in the basic proficiency range. That means that when they go to college, they are more likely to struggle and to have a difficult time staying in college and getting onto the path to graduation. Let's be real thoughtful about this. I mean, it's particularly stunning. You got students, if they take Algebra 1 before high school and then start off with geometry in their freshman year of high school, they will score 31 points higher on NAEP than those who took Algebra 1 after they entered high school. But this information this information is not really surprising. Increasingly, as we see from the results of early college high schools, in which kids are introduced to college-level courses early on, beginning in freshman year, they are doing well. When you give kids challenging curriculum, they stay in school. In fact, in a study done by Jobs for the Future, half of the high schools, early college high schools, had no dropouts whatsoever. In essence, none of their kids left school. And the dropout rate of just under 1%, which, let's be careful about using the dropout rate, it basically means that essentially it's four times lower than the dropout rate for North Carolina, which means in turn as well, the graduation rate in many cases, in many of these schools, is a lot higher than traditional public high schools in the Tar Heel State. We are also seeing programs such as Project Bright Idea, a program also in North Carolina, which gives at-risk students the same learning opportunities as kids who are gifted, or are considered gifted, early on. This has helped reduce achievement gaps at all levels. And what we're seeing is that there are benefits to challenging kids. As Tom Luce, the outgoing head of the National Math and Science Initiative, noted this month during a speech at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, a school in which black kids pass one AP course, pass one AP test, equals a graduation rate of 60% for black students instead of 50%. Now, yes, 60% isn't very good at all, but it's far better than 50%, and that means that there are more young black men and women who are making it. So just imagine if you expanded the number of young black men and women who are getting college preparatory courses, getting high rigorous courses and high rigorous education. When we give kids a chance to succeed, they will. Yet we have a belief among traditionalists in American public education that some kids can't learn. And this practice doesn't just reflect itself in reports such as the Harvard Graduate School of Education's Pathways to Prosperity report, which proclaimed in such a ludicrous way that higher academic standards led to dropouts, even though the data doesn't show that at all. But it's also seen in what happens in American public education in schools throughout the country. Just 13% of American high school students who took NAEP, of all races, ethnicities, and economic backgrounds, were taking rigorous courses. The rest were taking less rigorous coursework. A quarter of all graduates who took NAEP were subjected to curriculum that didn't even include algebra or any other kind of rigor. They were substandard, sub-rigorous. While that's better than the 60% of students subjected to abysmal curriculum back in 1990, it still means that far too many kids are not getting the learning they need to succeed in life. Poor and minority students are particularly ill-served. Just 8% of black graduates who took NAEP and 6% of Latino students who took NAEP had rigorous college preparatory courses. But guess what? White students aren't faring any better. Just 14% of white high school graduates left school with a strong, rigorous curriculum that prepared them for what they would have to face in college and ultimately face in life. Luce of the National Science and Math Initiative noted that we have students out there. We know that there are students out there who can take AP courses. And if done well, if given the high-quality instruction that they need, can actually succeed. But more often than not, they're either discouraged or not even informed that they can do this. In Atlanta, for example, just 7% of black students were taking AP courses during the 2005-2006 school year, versus 31% of white high school students. In Loudoun County, Virginia, not far away from my home in Alexandria, just 14% of black students took AP courses versus 31% of their white peers. And guess what? none of those black students even took the test. Why is this happening? As we say, traditionalists in American public education argue that kids can't learn, and that some kids don't need such high-quality education. It starts, that viewpoint, that condescending view starts early on by segmenting the most rigorous course just for those kids who they consider gifted, and making sure that that parents cannot immediately register kids in, just put them in through open admission, but they have to go get the approval of teachers and guidance counselors who serve as gatekeepers. This particularly impacts poor and middle class and minority families, especially those in who are first time in the middle class, because they don't understand the system and they don't know how to play the game. They don't realize that getting their kids into these courses early on is key to getting them into high-quality courses when they get into high school. And behind all this gatekeeping is the view that some kids just can't learn, that they don't need math or certain types of high-quality math and science work. They don't need to understand Chaucer. They don't need to understand Tacitus or understand history or any of this stuff. And this is particularly true with math. In Georgia, one teacher, Ken Sprague, declared in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution 2 years ago that the math that he was teaching his kids, he never had to use when he was in business, and they, in turn, don't really need it now. But Sprague is wrong. So was Maureen Downey of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, who then cited him in her argument. And so is anybody else who dares says that kids don't need high-quality courses, especially in algebra and Algebra 2, which in many ways helps you prepare for success. Math, in particular, is critical to building up the ability to understand abstract concepts that are found throughout life, including business, in politics, even in blue-collar work. Welders, for example, need trigonometry. Plumbers use math to determine pressure and volume. Electricians and elevator installers and repairmen use math every day. In fact, they need math and science skills in order to do their work. And these are high-paying positions. High-paying positions that pay as much as $70,000 to $80,000 or more a year. Which means that we're denying generations, a generation of young men and women, the opportunity to live better lives and get out of poverty. More importantly, understanding math also plays a critical role in understanding abstract concepts that come up throughout life and in politics. For example, a student with a working knowledge of, say, Algebra 2 will also be able to understand why the Laffer curve matters in discussions about tax cuts, or understand the discussions about healthcare reform. But it's more than that. See, high-quality education allows young men and women to open their doors and expand their horizons. Sure, a plumber may not necessarily need to know about Chaucer, know about Tacitus, or even have read a copy of Freakonomics. He may not need it in his daily work, but it will help him converse with higher-income clientele that he may want for his business. It will also help him open the doors for his children and give them greater options. And if it is true for plumbers, it is true for everyone. I can even say this from my own personal life, or that, in this case, my grandmother. My grandmother, who grew up in poor conditions, got a high-quality education, and it opened up the door for a middle-class life. It opened up a door for her to go and travel around the world. It opened up opportunities to help my mother learn and succeed in school and ultimately life, and it ultimately helped me. Education is critical to being part of the middle class in America, becoming part of the economic mainstream. No, education doesn't necessarily guarantee a job. But on the other hand, if you do not have a high-quality, rigorous college preparatory education in this day and age, in a knowledge-based economy in which even high-paying blue-collar work requires young men and women to know math and science, guess what? You don't have the education, you can't even come close to earning a living or being able to be a part of the American political, economic, or social mainstream. It is time to tell our kids that they need high-quality education. And it's time for American public education to throw off cultures of mediocrity and stop saying that only some kids deserve a rich college preparatory curriculum. It starts by improving the quality of curriculum for all students and starts early. We must improve how kids learn to read early on. That means for kids who are at risk or who need special reading remediation, it means we need to give it to them immediately, right at the beginning, as soon as they walk into kindergarten. This is especially true for our young black, white, and Latino males who struggle the most. It also includes improving curriculum in high school. The move towards Common Core standards is important, but it must only be the floor for improving curriculum, not the ceiling. This means we must make courses harder, tougher, and more challenging. And in turn, we must improve the quality of our teachers, and so they can be both skilled and have the subject knowledge competency and also care for kids to help them succeed. It also means helping parents understand the game. This means reformers and grassroots activists should set up information centers where parents can learn what their kids should know and how to get into high-quality courses. And finally, we must end the culture of low expectations. As U.S. Secretary of Education, former U.S. Secretary of Education Margaret Spellings once noted, "We laugh when we hear someone say that they aren't able to balance their checkbook or do a math subject, but we never hear anyone say that they can't read. We never hear that during a cocktail conversation or in any part of life. We must make it clear to our kids that innumeracy is unacceptable, that lacking knowledge of history and science is unconscionable, and not being ready for the rigors of college in the world is just plain unallowable. We cannot build cultures of genius in education if we accept the idea and continue to accept the idea that some kids can't learn. We must embrace the idea that all kids have genius and that we should educate them as if they are able to succeed and challenge them accordingly." Listen to the Dropout Nation podcast every Sunday. Also, read Dropout Nation every day for your news and commentary on the reform of American public education. Read my columns every week in the American Spectator and National Review, and also, coming up in May, my profile of Randy Weingarten, the AFT president. Go ahead and read it. This is Dropout Nation. I'm Rashawn Biddle. Have a great night.